Go.net.
Good Friday morning, November 7th, 2008. You're listening to Catholic Connection. Ave Maria Radio produces this show, which is distributed around the globe by brothers and sisters in an amazing ministry known as EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Good to be with you. My name is Teresa Tomeo, and we have a terrific show lined up for you this morning. Can't wait to talk with my dear, dear sister in the Lord, Janet Morana, from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and, of course, Priest Her Life, of which she is the associate director, and she's the co-founder of the ministry Silent No More Awareness. And when I heard Janet's voice on the conference call the other night, the teleconference call that Father Pavone made available to people across the country, which included many, many pro-life leaders, including himself and Janet, hearing Janet talk about the women, the poster board of women and men, I had the scenes in my mind from the last few March for Lives that I've attended. And, you know, the Supreme Court and the women giving their testimony and the men giving their testimony and just and then hearing the passion in Janet's voice and the fact that we're very good friends and that our conversion stories or reversion stories are very, very similar in terms of our, you know, turning away from the church for so many years. I just burst into tears, and that was my venting, you know, getting it off my chest and just getting it out. But I just want to remind you that it's okay if you're in a grieving process right now. I want to read a quote from Dr. James Dobson, which I think really kind of will be encouraging to all of us. I'm trying to be very motivational, and I think we need to do that, of course. We can't get stuck, you know, in sadness or in darkness. But it'd be pretty silly not to say that we're mourning, that we're grieving. You know, using the Rocky theme with my local listeners yesterday, reminding them that we are battered and bruised and we may have lost a battle, but hey, we went the distance for the election. I know so many of you who have written me and told me that you have tried so hard to get the word out, and you've done amazing, amazing work for Jesus and the Catholic Church, and especially the pro-life movement. Dr. Dobson says, I want to admit that I am in the midst of a grieving process. He was saying this on his radio program yesterday on Focus on the Family. I want to admit that I am in the midst of a grieving process at this time. I'm not grieving over Barack Obama's victory, but over the loss of things that I fought for 35 years. It was indeed a historic accomplishment to be the first black man in American history to be elected to the highest office in the land. But to be honest, I have to say that his win, Dr. Dobson said, causes me enormous concern because he will be the most committed pro-abortion president in our history. He's in favor of much of the homosexual agenda, and he's going to appoint the most liberal justices to the Supreme Court, perhaps, that we've ever had. So there are many reasons why I'm struggling today over the likely path the nation has taken. All right, and I just got done interviewing Sister Ann Shields. Many of you know her from her wonderful words of wisdom that are given to us through Ave Maria and EWTN and Food for the Journey. She is a noted speaker and a noted author and a talk show host, of course, and very involved with Renewal Ministries, where she does a lot of different charismatic renewals around the country and around the world. And the question came in from one of our dear listeners and supporters in our Ann Arbor, Michigan, saying, you know, why did God allow this to happen? Why didn't God intervene with all these good people that were praying and fasting and all the different sisters and different religious orders around the country and the world that were praying for us to get a pro-life president and for us to hang on to what we've been able to accomplish in the pro-life movement. And I wanted to just add to what Sister Ann Shields said in terms of the fact that we have this thing, this wonderful, wonderful gift called free will. And sometimes, because of original sin in the world, free will lets people choose some bad things, or they choose some bad things. And we all suffer when that happens. John Paul II said, sin is never singular. So God allows us to make our choices. Otherwise, we would be mere puppets. Okay? He allows us to make our choices. And all people are affected when people make good choices or bad choices. Again, sin is never singular, nor is doing a good thing never singular. When you make a right choice, it has a great effect on you, your family, those around you, just as if you were to make a bad choice. The same thing, that kind of ripple effect through your family, through your neighborhood, through society. Okay? And we know in Scripture that God says, especially in Romans, that in some cases he will leave us to our desires. There also is a bigger picture here in terms of, we look at the book of Isaiah, and the Lord says that his ways are not our ways. High above the earth are his ways. We can't figure out God, okay? And we have to trust that he is going to work out everything. according to his will. We don't know the reasons this happened, but he can bring, as Romans 8:28 says, great good out of things that are very, very, very troubling and very upsetting. All right? So I think that's very, very important to remember. Yes, we grieve. Yes, as I said yesterday, we got in the ring and we got beaten up pretty badly. Just like good old Rocky, we went the distance. And now we brush ourselves off, go back to the gym to practice and regroup and kind of see what kind of steps we need to take, maybe in a different direction, maybe do something a little bit differently, a little bit better. And then we get back in the ring. Okay? And we keep fighting the spiritual battle. Because we've lost a battle, but we have not lost the war. Read the end of the book. The good book. Okay, and I want to pick you up a little bit. Again, always trying to motivate you. My friend and publisher from Bezalel Books, which published my new book, Newsflash, and my series, All Things Girls, that I've co-written, Cheryl Dickow, sent me this morning, and this is very cute. And I want you to think about this today, okay? Top 10 predictions. No matter who wins the election. Prediction? The Bible will still have all the answers. That's prediction number one. Prediction number two. Prayer will still work. Number three. The Holy Spirit will still move. Prediction number four. God will still inhabit the praises of his people. Number five. There still will be God-anointed preaching. Number six, there still will be singing of praise to God. Number seven, God will still pour out blessings upon his people. Number eight, there still will be room at the cross. Number nine, Jesus still loves you. Prediction number 10, Jesus will still save the lost when they come to him. I am God, and I approve this message. Amen? Amen. All right. Janet Moran coming up right after the news. And then, speaking of those who could help us in this spiritual warfare, so many great saints have gone before us. There is a great cloud of witnesses, as it says in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. They are standing around the throne of God. They are interceding for us right now as we speak. My favorite, St. Teresa of Avila, another one of my favorites, Catherine of Siena. They're all up there rooting for us. And we should get to know them better, especially as we move forward. So, keeping that in mind, Father Joseph Fessio from Ignatius Press is going to be joining us about the All Saints book, Book of All Saints. It was just released in hardback by Ignatius Press. And it really is going to help you in understanding the intercession of the great saints. So I think it's going to be a great hour to motivate and uplift you. And again, it's okay if you're grieving. Just don't get caught in a lot of sadness and anger and bitterness. All right? You're going through a process right now. It's been an emotional roller coaster for us this week. It's important to acknowledge it and not say, oh, everything's fine, you know, just go back to normal. No, we have to regroup and we have to work even harder. But it's okay if you're feeling a little sad. But just keep going. Don't give up. All right? Right now, at just about 8 minutes past the hour. Well, gosh, it's almost 9 minutes past the hour already. We'll do a real short newscast, then we'll bring on our sister, Janet Moran. Well, the exit polls are reporting that more weekly church-going Catholics voted for John McCain than for President-elect Barack Obama, but it was very close, with Catholics who go to Mass regularly favoring McCain by 50% to 49%. Among infrequent Mass-goers, Obama was favored 48%. The United Nations expected to aggressively promote abortions worldwide, with Barack Obama as the new president of the United States, one of the top pro-life lobbyists at the UN saying he worries the floodgates will come open to perhaps make abortion an international right. Austin Ruse, the president of the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, telling LifeNews.com, the UN and abortion advocates there have held off extensive abortion discussions because they knew the Bush administration would lobby fellow pro-life nations against promoting it. Those reservations will likely be thrown out the window with a new pro-abortion administration's UN liaisons representing that policy. President-elect Barack Obama huddles today with various economic gurus and will hold a news conference later on. Among the participants at the meeting will be Vice President-elect Joe Biden, former Treasury Secretaries Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers, and legendary investor Warren Buffett. And a new study finds that Catholic colleges have moved so far afield from pro-life teachings of the Catholic Church that they're having little effect on how students view abortions. The Cardinal Newman Society says the study shows Catholic universities need to get back to teaching the basics of the faith. The Center for the Study of Catholic Higher Education says that most students on Catholic campuses reject key Catholic moral values and tenets of the faith. The survey showing 60% agreed strongly or somewhat that abortion should be legal, and nearly one in five knew another student who had or paid for an abortion. It also found 54% of respondents said that their experience of attending a Catholic college or university had no effect on their support for the teachings of the Catholic Church. In other news this morning, top execs in the big three automakers are asking Congress for an additional $25 billion. GM Chair Rick Wagoner, Ford CEO Alan Mulally, Chrysler Chair Bob Nardelli, and UAW President Ron Gettelfinger met with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other members of Congress to talk about the possibility of loans and access to money from the Treasury Department. John Dingell from Michigan, a congressman, attending the meeting and saying the automakers are pledging to use the money responsibly.
They are not seeking cash just to spend it. They are seeking money to invest in the future of jobs and opportunity for American workers and American industry.
Dingell adding he expects a positive outcome for the automakers. That's a real quick look at your news on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. I wanted to give a little bit more time to our sister Janet Morena, and she'll be with us in just about 2 minutes right after we take a break. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Father Joseph Fessio from Ignatius Press on the All Saints book, Book of All Saints. We'll be back on Catholic Connection on a Friday morning. If you have a question for Janet about her ministry with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, 877-573-7825, or if something's on your heart about the election or just something you want to reflect on, feel free to give us a call, 877-573-7825.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free, 1-800-556-0332.
From listening to Susan Ianni from Gordon Chevrolet over the years, I always said that when I got ready to get a new vehicle, that was going to be the dealer I went to because of the fact that their salesmen are non-commissioned.
Which means at Gordon Chevrolet, Catherine was able to relax and shop for just the right car for her and her budget.
I got to actually meet Susan Ianni, and Mona, my salesperson there, Gordon, was absolutely wonderful. She greeted me with a warm handshake and just gave me different options. I walked away from there so completely satisfied and so comfortable not having the pressure of a commission salesman trying to sell me something I don't want.
Go to Gordon Chevrolet. After all, wouldn't you like to relax and enjoy shopping for your next car?
Again, you know, because they are non-commissioned, I know when it comes time for another vehicle, I will go back.
Gordon Chevrolet. Easy to get to. On Ford Road just west of Merriman in Garden City. Call 888-408-4444.
Great schools are places where ideas come alive and get everyone involved. This is what Ave Maria University offers. Come and experience the fruits of a true liberal arts education at Ave Maria University. Unlike schools who take the faith for granted, the faith is the lifeblood of who we are. Ave Maria University, preparing students for success in this world and for never-ending joy in the next. Call 877-AVEU-NIV or click www.avemaria.edu.
Hour. Good Friday morning. Teresa Tomeo with you. Catholic Connection coast to coast and globally heard through EWTN, Global Catholic Radio, EWTN.com. We're produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan. You can check us out online, AveMariaRadio.net. And I'll tell you what, Miss Janet Morena, Missy Pants, it was you who like brought me to tears the other night listening to you on that conference call. By the way, what a great productive call that was. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. And for those of our listeners that did not listen in on that call on Wednesday evening, Father Pavone hosted a phone call of post-election comments from, and he had a lot of different segments of the pro-life movement on the phone. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there right now listening who work so hard for this election, Teresa, and feel so discouraged. And I want to encourage them to go to the Priest for Life website, and we have that conference call there. They can listen to it online, a replay of it. We had people like Joe Scheidler, Brad Mattis, you know, Joe Scheidler's from the Pro-Life Action League, Brad Mattis, you know, who works with Dr. Wilkie at Life Issues Institute, Peggy Hartshorn, head of Heartbeat International, Dan McConkie, head of Americans United for Life. I mean, Mike Schwartz, who has been in the movement for decades. He currently works for, you know, chief of staff for Senator Coker. He was there to kind of give that historical perspective and what we can expect, you know. And, of course, I spoke about Silent No More awareness campaign. But I think what was important is each leader had a perspective of, like, almost giving people a to-do list, right, Teresa? You know, everyone yep. had positive suggestions. This is what we're going to do as a movement. And depending on where God's calling you, you could, on that phone call, you had enough of ideas that anyone listening right now, you know, what we have to do is roll up our sleeves and move forward because, you know we have the victory, Teresa. You know, Father Pavone, you and I have said this so many times because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're called to be faithful, and right now we've got to just regroup, take all that disappointment energy or some people who are anger, you know, angry about the results, take that energy and let's make it into a positive. Let's continue to push forward as a movement and let's do something. So I would really encourage everyone to listen to the replay that they can on our website. And believe me, you'll get plenty of good information. And, I forgot, David B. Wright also from 40 Days for Life is on the call, too. And there will be a 40 Days for Life campaign come the Lenten season. So that's another thing people can begin to plan for and gear up for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm hopeful, Teresa. You know, our hope is in the Lord, and Amen. That's how we have to look at this. And, of course, I was disappointed. You know, we all worked so hard and prayed so hard. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to say, like, you know, I had said to someone that night, I said, well, you know, the Israels were out in the desert for decades, so, you know, there must be some wisdom in this, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is that we have to sharpen our pencils right now and pull up our sleeves and say, okay, let's get better at what we're doing, and let's improve, and let's reach more people. And I know with the women of the Silent No More Awareness campaign and the men, they're more determined than ever to go forward because, you know, they said to me, so many of them, you know, sent Georgette and I email messages, and they said, look, we might have, you know, lost this one battle, but we're going to win the war because we have the truth on our side. And we're the voices that bought the lie. We're the voices that, you know, we're sold the bill of goods here, and we're going to continue being silent no more, even more than ever before. And that's what I want to ask, you know, Teresa, is if there are people out there who maybe say, you know what, I don't know if I'm ready to share my testimony publicly yet, but if you've gone through healing and you regret your abortion and you regret your lost fatherhood and you're planning to come to Washington, D.C., we want you registered with the campaign because we want you to join us in that VIP section. We're going to give you that sign. And can you imagine, Teresa, if we had thousands of people instead of 100 marching with us next mm-hmm. January? I mean, mm-hmm. to me, that's the response right now. Let's come out in bigger numbers than ever before, and we're going to show that we're not going away. We are not going away. We have the truth, and we're going to go forward from here.
All right, we got a lot of calls coming in. No surprise there. People are still kind of processing everything that happened this week. If you have a question or a comment, 877-573-7825. Let's go to northeastern Pennsylvania in the Scranton area. Georgia is online, too. Hi, Georgia. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning to both of you. I just wanted to share a thought that I had had, you know, after this process. I just started contemplating the time when our Lord was born, what must have been going on through the heart of Mary and Joseph when an angel appeared to Joseph and said, take your child and its mother and flee. As Herod ran amok, hunting down Jesus and killing millions of children in his path. And what Mary must have been thinking, but their trust in God got them through. I just wanted to ask Janet or Teresa, if either one of you know, how will the organization be doing anything at the Supreme Court on Inauguration Day, which is 2 days before the March for Life?
Yeah. Well, as far as the Silent No More Awareness campaign, we're not going to be able to bring the women in that many days ahead. You know, Inauguration Day is, you know, is January 20th, which is a Tuesday. It means they would have to come in on Monday. The problem we face is you can't even get a hotel in almost like 50 miles of Washington. Every hotel has already been sold out ahead of time. This is what happens in inaugurations, and basically what happens is both parties contract all the hotels, and depending on who wins, that's who has the contract. So there's just no place to house people. We do have our local regional coordinator, and Nancy Tanner, who's there in D.C., and Georgia and I are going to be talking to Nancy to see if some women who could just come in for the day, if Nancy could get a small group to do something, to be a presence somewhere. I do know that there's another group run by Reverend Pat Mahoney, Christian Defense Coalition, and they are going to be planning some sort of visible presence on the streets the day of the inauguration. But you also have to keep in mind that areas that, you know, the president-elect would even see people are going to be so sectioned off, you're not even going to get in any kind of visible way. People who are going to counter demonstrate. So that's basically the answer to that question. But that's why I'm encouraging people for this year, for the March for Life, to come in greater numbers than ever before to really make that statement to these pro-abortion politicians to say, we are not going away, okay? Because there's no cause greater on earth than standing up for the unborn children and their moms, you know? And what I always tell everybody, for every baby we save, we save a mother and father from becoming post-abortive. You know, so this is a great cause we have. And I think our response is to show up in greater numbers than ever before. And, you know, and that's the other thing, too. You know, they always underreport, as Teresa knows, in the media, the number of people at the March for Life.
Right.
But can you imagine, can we do a million-person march for the March for Life this year? You know? I mean, they've done that for other causes.
Right.
Can we do that?
I'm hoping it'll be the biggest one ever, and I think it will. I really do.
I think
that people are going to be even more motivated, not that they haven't been motivated in the past.
And that's why I'm asking for men and women who are post-abortive who, you know, like I said, not everyone's ready to speak their testimony in public just yet, but they've gone through healing, and the sign is a testimony. I regret my abortion. I regret lost fatherhood. I'm envisioning, Teresa, you know, that we could have a few thousand people. If they start now registering with the campaign, we're going to order the signs, you know, and Nellie Gray, thanks be to God, is going to allow us to be up at the beginning of the march. So I think that has to be our response, a very positive response on the 22nd.
Let's go to John calling from Jacksonville, Florida. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Teresa?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, Florida now, but I grew up in northern Michigan, so missed this time of year up there, that's for sure.
I'll trade you when it gets snowy.
You can do that.
Okay.
You can do that. I ran into a couple last night who are Christian, not Catholic, but they are Christian and believe in the same rights that we, our privileges and so forth, as far as voting and right to life, pro-life and so forth. But I stated that, you know, I was praying daily for our country and also Governor Palin and Senator McCain daily with rosaries and so forth that way. And, you know, she said, it's interesting, John, that, you know, in all this turmoil that we probably will have, once the other people who did vote for Obama find out what exactly is behind this whole agenda, that they'll join us in prayer, too. And it was kind of a neat insight that she gave that, you know, we'll have even more people to get closer to God through all of this. And I think that's it's a very powerful insight, and I think we have to grasp hold of that.
Yeah, and I also think, John, too, and Janet, jump in here, because I also think what we're seeing is we're definitely seeing where we need the catechesis the most. I mean, you know, if people are voting in the pews are voting for Barack Obama, there's obviously a lack of teaching, and someone like to say, well, it's because, you know, they think Barack Obama will do a better job at, you know, reducing abortion than the laws have. That's a bunch of, as Jeff Cavins would say, there's a Hebrew word for that, bahaloney. Because most of the people who went to the polls and voted for Barack Obama, and I would say this because of people that I've talked to in my own Catholic circles, have no clue how liberal he is on abortion.
That's right.
And so what they're voting on is the economy, and that's actually what came out in the results. Not that they agreed with Obama's approach on abortion in terms of his extreme stance on it. And for people to still say that this is the way to reduce abortion is insanity. That's, I don't understand, and I got an email from that same priest who keeps writing me, and I'm so angry right now, I'm not even going to respond, and I know he's listening because he just wrote me, and he's trying to say, don't tell you I told you so, but I told you so, because all these people voted for Obama, so therefore they all believe that the way to reduce abortions is to put somebody in office like Obama who's going to give us more social programs. That's insanity. And I just don't understand how somebody who's a priest can be okay with the fact that he's leading people astray. It just angers me. And I know so many in my own area walking into Mass with the vestments on, with Obama pins and Obama bumper stickers on the car in the parking lot. And this is the message they're giving to the laity. This, I think, is the good thing that came out of this, that we can see the teaching that has occurred has been so poor that we have got to get a handle on this. Sorry, I just said, if I didn't say that, I'd explode.
Well, you know what it is, too? I think the word abortion, Teresa, you know, as we always say, a priest of life and Father Pavone, it's lost meaning. And I challenged that priest who told, you know, said he voted for Obama and what's the big deal here, to go to our Priest for Life website, priestforlife.org/images. Look at the pictures of those unborn babies in development. And then look at those same children, same pictures of aborted babies, and tell me, this is what Obama is standing for. This is the choice that he is saying should remain legal through all 9 months of pregnancy. You know, if Obama had his way, people like Gianna Jensen would never have seen the light of day. She's an abortion survivor from a late-term saline abortion. I mean, he is for infanticide. You know, even if a baby is, you know, born alive, he says no medical procedure should be done to help save that and resuscitate that child. This is infanticide.
Yeah, also in the fact that, as Andrew just pointed out to me, and you know, we're exchanging notes here with each other in the studio, how do you think that this is going to help when you're eliminating all restrictions you've promised to do, and you're going to make it taxpayer-funded across the board? So this is going to reduce abortions, and this is a better person for the job. I just don't. No, what is going on here is deep, deep-rooted prejudice toward a particular party or a particular candidate or a particular former, you know, candidate in the past, or especially with the Republican Party. These are deep-rooted prejudices that certain people in positions will not let go of. And so they convince themselves that this is the way to go, even though Barack Obama has never outlined anything that he will do to reduce abortions in terms of social programs. Not that that would make any difference, but I don't know. It just frustrates me, because the confusion that people are putting out there among Catholics is just disgusting. Okay, Anne from South Dakota, go ahead in line one. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you turn your radio down?
Yep, it's down.
Okay, go ahead.
What I did is I was listening to a program the other night, and he was saying that Congress does have power over the Supreme Court, and that's the way we should maybe go. It's just all of us would contact our congressmen and senators and, you know, keep hounding them that we want action. And so that's what I did. I wrote to all my congressmen and senators, you know, saying I'm not going to go away. I will keep writing you every day, you know, until I hear that you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's, you know, an option.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive things we can do regarding Congress. And the first thing, like you're saying, is write the members of Congress, and especially the people from your district, and write them not in Washington, but in your home office, in their home office, in your area, in your state, and tell them if they're pro-life, encourage them, all right, and say, you know, congratulations for winning, you know, if they were reelected, or welcome if they're pro-life to Congress, and we're hoping that you will do everything in your power not to allow the Freedom of Choice Act to see the light of day. Now, if they're pro-abortion, you do a similar, but you only say that I'm a voter in your district. I do not support abortion. I want to see the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I also, again, want to see the Freedom of Choice Act not see the light of day. You know, it's perfectly okay now to start bombarding them with letters saying, I'm a voter in your district, and this is how I feel. Because, you know, if they start getting bombarded with letters, they're going to say to themselves, hey, you know, Obama has promised to sign the Freedom of Choice Act if it comes to his desk. But if we lean heavy now on Congress and say, this better not see the light of day, well, then maybe they're going to say to themselves, you know what, this is a hot potato that I don't even want to get involved with. Let's not even let this be, get out of committee. So there's things we can do now. You know, we don't have to wait till it's, you know, ready to be voted on in Congress. Let's kill it now, and let's, in a loud voice, write those letters and say, we do not want to see that Freedom of Choice Act become, even see the light of day. And what people have to understand is how bad the Freedom of Choice Act would be. Many states have passed, okay, limits on abortion, either with parental consent laws, parental notification, women's right to know. The Freedom of Choice Act would undo that. So therefore, what this is really undoing our founding fathers' intent for our government, because what it's doing is it's having the federal government undo laws passed by the states, you see? So there's a lot at stake with this Freedom of Choice Act, and we can do a lot right now to try to squash it ahead of time.
My understanding is that the Freedom of Choice Act, and one of my listeners, Paula, was wondering about this too. Last time I checked, it was still at the committee level in both the House and the Senate, right?
Yes, it is. It is, okay. Exactly. And so that's why if we write now, we can kill it in committee. See, that's my point, Teresa. Let's not wait till they're getting ready to vote on it. Let's kill it in committee now. And so everyone listening now, you know, whether your congressman or senator is pro-life or pro-abortion, you tailor the letter accordingly, but you hit them hard now with letters. Flood their home office, not Washington, their home office, because that's how they know this is a voter from my district, and tell them, I live in such and such a county. They're going to know, uh-oh, these are people from my home district. You know, so the time to do it is now, Teresa, while it's in committee, and let it die in committee. That should be our mantra. You know, the FOCA bill should die in committee. And let's charge forward with that. There's a positive step that everyone can take today.
All right, let's take one more call real quick. And if we get any more calls on this, Janet, I'll take you over the break, but we'll see. I don't know if we have any more calls at this point. But 877-573-7825. John from Texas, what's your question?
Yes, hi. I'm glad you spoke up about the specifics on what to do. Yeah, I support the American Life League, Peace for Life, and the National Right to Life. And all during the campaign, I only got one flyer in the mail about what the difference was in the candidates' positions. It had John McCain on one side and Barack Obama on the other side of a flyer. And what I did was, you know, you got to get down and do something. They were talking about rolling up your sleeves and trying harder and all that. We got to get some specifics. What I did was on the back of that flyer was blank, and I xeroxed a picture of the partial birth abortion, a picture on a flyer that the Knights of Columbus puts out, and I got an old printer, and I went about $14 worth of printing paper, and I got in the phone book, and I just put a bunch of stamps on envelopes and mailed that flyer out to everybody in the Victoria area down here, a little town in Texas. And that's what we got to do, is do stuff like that to get the word out on where these people stand.
Oh, that's a very good point, Janet.
Yeah, well, pre-select, we produced that presidential voters guide, and, you know, Teresa, distributed over a quarter million of them around the country.
Yeah, because I don't know, John, why you didn't get information, because I got a ton of stuff from Priests for Life, American Life League, and a whole bunch of other pro-life groups, because we're on their mailing list and we support them. So I'm not sure why you didn't get it, because I got a number of different things from Priests for Life.
Well, also, too, in looking ahead, Father Pavone has developed a new website. It's up and running, called ProLifeStrategy.com. And I encourage people listening right now to check that out, ProLifeStrategy.com. And it will, that website will be consistently updated. And finally, you know, like I said at the beginning of the call, if you didn't listen to the teleconference phone call that Father did Wednesday night, I encourage you to go and listen to that call. It's a one-hour call. And you're going to really be inspired and also be given a lot of steps you can take right now to improve this situation and to go forward as the people of life, because that's what we have to do. God is calling us to go forward. We know the gospel of life. We have the truth on our side. And we have to educate, educate, educate.
Amen. All right, great way to wrap up the segment with Janet Miranda from Priest Your Life and Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Janet, thanks so much for letting me vent, too, about emails from people who think it's okay to elect someone like that and that that's the way you're going to reduce abortions. I don't know how that thinking process works, but I just have to keep praying for people, praying for everybody in this battle. When we come back, we talk with a great priest who preaches the truth in love, Father Joseph Fessio with Ignatius Press, and he's going to help us get to know the saints a little bit better. The book is called Book of All Saints, through someone who actually has visions of the saints and did her best to let us know the truth about the communion of saints in the Catholic Church. Stay tuned.
Michigan Catholic Credit Union invites you to double your holiday shopping pleasure and double your shopping rewards by shopping with your MCCU Visa. Just use your MCCU Visa for all your holiday purchases between November 28th and December 31st of this year, and you'll receive double scorecard bonus points. And that's a great way to make your shopping pay. You'll get double points for balance transfers too. Plus, when you use your MCCU Visa during the designated time, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to be one of two winners who'll get 100,000 scorecard bonus points. So come on, double your shopping pleasure and double your shopping rewards by using your MCCU Visa. If you don't have an MCCU Visa, it's easy to apply, and now is the time to do it. If you're Catholic, Michigan Catholic Credit Union is where you belong. For more information, stop by the MCCU office nearest you or visit mishcathcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone with Priest for Life. The election of a pro-abortion president means many changes for the pro-life cause. Instead of passing pro-life legislation, we will be blocking pro-abortion legislation. Instead of confirming good judges, we will be blocking bad ones. But many things do not change. The abortion industry is collapsing. The American people continue to be more pro-life, especially the young. And the truth that abortion is violence continues to be exposed. It is all right to be disappointed in the outcome of an election, but we never walk away from the cause. In fact, our movement will attract new recruits who realize how extreme the new administration's abortion policy is and will know it is bad for America. We will continue to march toward the pro-life America we seek, and we will not stop until we get there. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Always great to have Father Joseph Fessio on with us from Ignatius Press to tell us about the latest books that can help us in our journey, especially now we need to learn more about the saints. In just a second, we're going to talk first about the Book of All Saints, which was recently released in hardcover by Ignatius Press. It actually came out in this format back in June, and it's a beautiful book, and we'll get into that in just a second. But first, Father, help me. Good morning.
Well, Teresa, you know, we know the saints are heroes, and we're living in a time where it's hard to be Catholic without being a hero because so much is against us. The culture is so anti-Christian. But I know I've heard this argument that Obama's a true pro-life candidate because he'll reduce abortions by helping reduce poverty. Of course, it's false, but I can give you a very concrete example to prove it's false. Years ago, when Operation Rescue was getting really strong in the 1990s, there was a big rally over at a state university in San Francisco, San Francisco State, and Joe Shiler was invited.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was a great warrior. I mean, a tremendous man. I can't say enough good about him. He's fought the fight ever since Roe v. Wade.
Right.
But they let him come to this secular campus, and he let him have it. And he got this argument. But these poor people, they've got no choice, you know. And so I was interviewed after that, and I got on the Bay Area television, and I said, look, I will guarantee any woman who is about to have an abortion, think of it, who is doing it for financial reasons, we'll take care of you. We'll give you all you need. We'll take the baby and have the baby adopted, or you can raise the baby. We'll take care of your financial needs. Call this number. Do you really mean that, Father? Yes, I do. Not a single call in the whole metropolitan area of San Francisco. Cardinal O'Connor made the same offer in New York City as Carmen. He said, if there's any woman who's thinking of an abortion and the reasons are financial, this archdiocese will take care of you. Give us a call. no takers. It is not true that they're getting abortion because of poverty. It's an alternative to contraception. It's because they want to have the pleasure of sex without the responsibility. And one other thing I'll say, Teresa, is that, you know, the very first commandment we're given by God in Genesis chapter 1 is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's God's plan for creating us male and female. Now, the devil, in Hebrew, Satanas, which means the adversary, the opponent, is opposing God. How would you oppose God? If his commandment is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, why then the devil's commandment is don't be fruitful, contracept, don't multiply, well, if you are fruitful, at least kill it, and don't fill the earth, zero population. This is demonic. And just as we are all members of the body of Christ and trying to live the life of Christ and therefore other Christs, I think that those who promote the pro-life cause, who don't see the evil of this of abortion, are the Antichrist. They are participating in the Antichrist. They're participating in the work of the devil.
It, to me, it is so frustrating, Father, when I'm hearing from people, and I'm sure as you do in your position, and you hold a number of different, wear a number of different hats in terms of your work as a priest and the Ignatius Press and the university, but hearing from people all over the country who are just heartbroken about what's happened at the local level at their parishes or in their diocese, where priests refusing to read their bishop's letters, priests walking in, you know, with Obama pins on their vestments or bumper stickers on their cars in the church parking lot. I guess, you know, how do we deal with that frustration of justice? And I know, as you said, they're blinded, but when they're in positions to teach and leading others astray, it is very, very frightening to me. And I know it's been since the beginning, and you know, since the church started, we've had problems, and there's always been people within the church, and you read the book of Acts, and you see the conflict, of course, but it seems to be really becoming more and more clear right now. What do we do about it, especially those of us who have the opportunity to talk about it like we are
but
today?
Why do priests take these positions? Why do they say that? Why do they not understand? Because they have not had proper formation. They have not been taught the fundamental moral principles of the church. And it's taken years. It didn't happen overnight. It's not as if these priests were well-formed, intelligent, good philosophically, good theologically, and suddenly they voted for Obama. No. They've been misformed in their whole education, and they've drunk in the culture around them, and they don't realize that what they're doing is contrary to the principles of the church. Thank God the bishops, for the first time really in my life, as a body, I mean, really spoke out. I mean, many of them courageously. But so what's the answer? It didn't get this way overnight. The answer is education and formation. Homeschooling families, small schooling families, parents having children and giving them the faith and teaching them, sending them to good schools. And it's happening, Teresa. I'm here at Ave Maria, and I tell you, these young people are glorious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't reveal confessional secrets of who said what, but I mean, I had a student come in that after election. He said, "Father, I got to go to Mass, but I have to go to confession first." Now, normally, you know, that has something to do with you know, the Sixth Commandment. But in this case, the student said, "You know, I got so mad, Father, after this election, I started to swear, and I just wanted to go to confession." I thought, "Well, God bless you. You know, you shouldn't have sworn." But the anger was good. And then at breakfast the next morning, I was having breakfast with a student. And she says, "Father, you know, I'm so depressed, but thank God I'm here. If I were on another campus, they'd be rejoicing, they'd be singing, they'd be dancing. At least here, everybody's sad." Mm. So I think we've got a lot of hope in the younger generation. Also, in California, which, of course, voted for Obama, they did pass the marriage amendment, 52-48, and the highest percentage of those who were supported that were 30 and under. So the younger generation, you know, is being formed better. We got some hope.
I hope so, Father, because it's just very, very frustrating. And, you know, and I get frustrated and people tell me, "Oh, just move on. You know, it's, yeah, we know there's bad teaching, just move on." But we can't just move on. We have to, as you said, we have to do a better job.
Well, more children are going to die. So you can't just move on. I mean, in one sense, you have to, I mean, what can we do? You know, we're in a culture that is anti-life. It's that what, you know, John Paul II sometimes called it the culture of death, but in his first encyclical, Benedict called it the anti-culture of death. It's not a culture at all. I mean, what depresses me, Teresa, is that, by the way, I have never heard Obama speak. I've never seen him. I didn't need to. I know what the platform is, the Democratic Party, the platform of the Republican Party. I know what he stands for. I don't need to hear him speak. But we live in a culture where people are so influenced by external things like the media, you know, radio, television, newspapers, that their minds are formed or misformed by that. It's really sad. And that's why another movement is going on. I see in the homeschoolers. I mean, half of our kids here have been homeschooled at some point or other. I mean, most of them don't have TVs. You know, when there was when Sarah Palin was nominated, I kind of wanted to see her nomination speech. And so I went down to the lobby, and we have a big flat-screen TV, and it's cable. And, you know, I don't watch TV, so I wasn't sure which channel was going to be ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So I flipped around, couldn't find anything. Five students came in after that. I said, can you help me do this thing? No, we don't watch that, Father. I couldn't find a student that watched television.
Good.
So I know I'm in a bubble, but this is a bubble that's going to burst. I mean, the kids from here are going to go out, and they're going to engage the culture, and they're going to teach. They're going to form.
Let me ask you one question that is coming into me a lot, and several people writing this morning listening to our conversation and me expressing great sadness over this one particular priest who just keeps writing and writing and writing and saying he's right and we're wrong. And he's listening right now because he is writing in response to what you just said and what Janet Miranda just said, which is fine. I'm glad that he's still listening. But they're wondering about their anger that they have, and I have to deal with this too, Father, and thanks be to God I have a good spiritual director. But I get very angry when people who are in positions and who are priests are leading people astray, and that's what makes me angry. What can we do? Is it a sin to be angry? That's what people are asking.
Jesus got angry at me, and Jesus got very angry. And especially he got angry when profane things were brought into the temple. And he took cords and tried and drove people out. What the people were doing wasn't bad. They were changing money, and they were selling animals for sacrifice. You needed that to sacrifice. But it shouldn't be in the temple. So Jesus certainly got angry. And if you read Matthew 23, you'll find out, that he's very, very angry. But it is the proper response to present evil. That's what anger is. Now, what you do with the anger, if you yell like I do, which is wrong,
Well, you and I are Italian, so are we given like a little bit of a slack from God for that? Or no?
Yeah, we're given. It's probably what do they call it? Invincible with us, but you have to try and direct the anger, and even the people that Jesus was angry at, he died for. I mean, he came to save, so. We have to, basically, Jesus is our model. We have to have the same mind in us as in Christ, and also the same feelings in Christ to the extent we can. And that means sorrow at the presence of evil, anger when it's there, but never without the love willing to die for the very people you're angry with.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I don't succeed very well.
Mm. Father, thanks. Hang on, we're going to come back, and I promise we'll talk about the Book of All Saints, which we can all certainly use right now. We're talking with Father Joseph Fessio. I feel so much better, plus because he's a fellow Italian. All right, 877-573-7825. Ignatius.com is a website for this book, which is now available in hardcover on the Book of All Saints, and the saints can certainly help us in terms of understanding their intercession for us, as it says in Revelation, are gathered around the throne. Of course, the bowls of incense being the prayers of the saints. We'll talk more with Father Joseph Fessio. If you have a question, again, 877-573-7825. I feel better.
Sound like anyone you know? Millions of Americans suffer from a condition called sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a condition where breathing is briefly and repeatedly interrupted during sleep. For people with sleep apnea, the combination of disturbed sleep and oxygen starvation may lead to hypertension, heart disease, mood, and memory problems. Sleep apnea, if left untreated, can be life-threatening. Do you have daytime sleepiness and ongoing feelings of fatigue? Is your quality of life affected by this fatigue? Has anyone ever told you that you snore or stop breathing during the night? Sleep Well Centers can help. Call today, 888-996-4319 for a phone consultation. That's 888-996-4319. Sleep Well Centers specialize in diagnosing and treating sleep apnea. Are you tired of being tired?
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. To help Christians understand their duties regarding voting, one of the foremost Catholic teachers in the country recently visited three parishes in the area. We recorded one of these jam-packed sessions and have the CD available. It's Voting as a Catholic by Dr. Peter Kraft. Some elected representatives are perpetrating misinformation about church teaching. Professor Kraft removes all the confusions in very understandable terms, in full accord with the Magisterium of the Church. This is a must-listen CD for yourself, your family, friends, and co-workers. Order yours today. Voting as a Catholic by Dr. Peter Kraft. All editions of Preston in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, and The Doctor is In are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506, 734-930-4506, or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hour talking with Father Joseph Fessio, who just gave me a great 10 minutes worth of spiritual direction. Thanks, Father. I appreciate that. And I think I helped a lot of our listeners, too, because they're sending me emails this morning, you know, feeling the same thing that I'm feeling.
Well, one more thing on this, Teresa, that you know, it seems like a huge euphoria and a major landslide and everyone's going south. But if you're in a room of 100 people, and 40 of them voted for Obama and 52 for McCain, that's a pretty evenly divided room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that was a percentage. But we got the perfect storm here. We got an economy starting to really get volatile and looking bad. We have a media-generated hatred of the present president and the war in Iraq. And so all those things together, you know, they even when they asked people out of the voting booth, what were your most important issues? Abortion, even among evangelicals and Catholics, was seventh or ninth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the economy, you know, was right at the top. So I don't think that this election was a referendum on abortion so much as it was conversion of other things. And in fact, you found in a lot of the state votes, there were pretty intelligent positions on some of the crazy liberal ideas. I mean, even in San Francisco, where I'm from, which is, I mean, that's as liberal a city as there is on the planet. You know, there was an initiative to rename the water treatment plant the George W. Bush sewage plant. And that was defeated 2-1. And there was also an initiative to not to enforce prostitution laws. And that was defeated 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was something mesmerizing about Obama. There was the circumstance of the economy. There was a dissatisfaction with Bush, and that all converged for this to happen.
Not to mention the fact that the media rarely talked about abortion at all. They didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And they avoided it. Those who hosted the debates avoided it like the plague. So people didn't even know what they were voting on in terms of those issues.
Well, let's get to the saints.
Yes, really. Let's get to the saints because they can help us. So the book is The Book of All Saints, and it's available now in hardcover, correct?
Right, it is.
And tell us about it.
Well, it's by Adrian von Speyer, who was a Swiss mystic that was directed by Hans-Urs von Balthasar, one of the great theologians of the 20th century and a very close friend of the present pope and also the previous pope. And Balthasar believed that the kind of the hallmark of her mystical prayer was her transparency to the reality of heaven in her visions. And she would have visions of the saints at prayer. And not just the saints, but other people too. And famous people, for example. And so he had her under obedience dictate to him these visions she had of the saints at prayer. So this book, which has, I don't know, maybe 200 or 300 little vignettes in it, is really a little window onto the life of the saints and their prayer while they were here on earth. But in addition to all the saints you probably know and the apostles and stuff, you know, she's got Constantine the Emperor, she's got Charlemagne the Emperor, she's got Joan of Arc, of course, Fra Angelico, Michelangelo, Charles V, Philip of Spain, Shakespeare, El Greco, Joseph Haydn, Beethoven, Kierkegaard, Gerald Manley Hopkins. But I'm mentioning the non-saints here. Of course, there's Martin of Tours and Boniface and Elizabeth of Schönau and, whoops, oh, sorry, that was my phone ringing. But it's just an extraordinary book that helps you see and experience the saints at prayer.
And I think it's important to understand, too, Father, the power of intercession of the saints. And I think we sometimes forget that. I love that verse in Hebrews where it says we have a cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
You know, which I think is so, so important. And I get great strength from Teresa of Avila, whom I was named after, who also had a temper, though, even though she was Spanish. But do you think this would be a book for whom, Father? For anyone interested in learning more about the saints? Or is it too heady for let's say, younger people? Or what would you suggest? Or those
no,
of us maybe
I,
don't have
I think it's a book that pretty much covers the spectrum because it's not theological or philosophical. It's very experiential and existential. It simply lets you experience what the saints thought and said as they prayed. And, you know, that's something everybody can do. Hmm. Another thing about it, it's good, it's a pretty big book. I mean, how many pages is it here? It's 400 and something, 23 pages. Mm-hmm. But each of these little vignettes is about a page or a page and a half. So you don't have to read it from cover to cover. You can kind of dip into it. And on a feast day, for example, the saints, you could turn to it and see what that saint's prayer was like.
Before we let you go, I want to remind people you can get the book a number of different places, AveMariaRadio.net on our online bookstore or Ignatius.com. The book is Book of All Saints. And Father Joseph Fessio, of course, is with Ignatius and Ave Maria University. Okay. Give us some... maybe some encouraging words, Father. It's been a rough week, a real rough week for us. And then we got up and back in the ring and stuff and brushing ourselves off. But kind of give us like a closing thought or maybe a closing prayer as we head into the weekend to take a breather and then start all over again.
Well, this week we are reading St. Paul's letter to the Philippians.
Yes.
For our first reading in Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tuesday morning, it was Wednesday morning. When was the election? Election was Tuesday. So it was Wednesday morning. The reading was from Philippians 2:15, where Paul tells us to be children of God without blemish, shining like stars in the heavens in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. That was the message for the day after the election, that we have to shine like stars in the midst of the darkness.
Father, thank you. Hang on one second. I want to talk to you after the show. But thank you for your words of wisdom and for being willing to be my brief spiritual director. As short as our session was, it really helped me this morning, as well as our listeners. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for your support this week. Let's stay in this battle together. Maybe we lost a few battles, but we have not lost the war because we know we won in the end. We know how the good book ends. Talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, and you've often heard me share about my trips to the Holy Land, and now is your chance to join me, Stephen Janet Ray, and Ave Maria Radio on our special pilgrimage to Israel coming up in March. Be inspired by a daily Mass at holy sites and learn from Steve's teachings and my insights as you follow the footsteps of Christ to Nazareth, Bethlehem, the Upper Room, and to our Lord's Sacred Passion. Ascend the Mount of Transfiguration, take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, and celebrate High Mass at the very tomb of Christ. This pilgrimage includes airfare from New York to Tel Aviv and 8 nights accommodations in Israel, plus luxury coach for all our sightseeing and touring. Also, a videographer will produce a very special DVD of our trip. Spaces are filling up now for this March pilgrimage, so call Corporate Travel. The number is 313-565-8888. Or go online to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Israel Pilgrimage link. Number again, 313-565-8888.
Catholic Connection is brought to you by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, a family of pro-life mutual funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that can choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. At Ave Maria, every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment.